Hello everyone, I'm Baruffy1322 and welcome to the 13th episode of the Choking Hazard podcast with my usual co-hosts Sugarfree Nos.
Howdy.
And RDT. And tonight we've got a guest again. It's been a while. It's been a while
it's
since
been,
we had a guest. How many weeks has it been? It's been
27.
Months. It must be months. 27. We've only been doing it for 13 weeks.
No, 13 episodes, more than 13 weeks because of that stupid trial.
Okay, sorry.
Bi-weekly.
Sorry, the bi-weekly trial.
Okay. Bi-monthly? I think it was. Yeah.
What? Anyway, we do have a guest again.
Yeah, we got
He is a fellow Twitch streamer. We know him because we actually raided him at the end of one of my streams a long time ago.
It was a while ago.
And it is... wait till I find the correct thing. It's Gentleman XIII.
Hey.
Yeah, 13 is fine.
13, yeah. Gentleman 13 on the 13th episode.
Thanks for joining in on the podcast. We've been planning this the whole time. Since episode one, we knew he was going to come on this week. We knew.
Written in the stars.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's an honor to be here, man.
It's
good to have you.
An honor. Woo.
We'll switch it up from.
I'll go too far.
Don't put it too high in your expectations.
It's okay to be here.
it's average. We try for average. Bang average.
I'm pretty indifferent about being here right now.
Yeah. We aspire for mediocrity. That's what we aspire to.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, confidence. Confidence, everybody. Confidence.
Oh, yes. Best show you've ever seen.
Yeah. honor, as Jaji puts in the chat, honor is a very, very strong word. So we'll switch it up from the last time we had a guest where we spoke for the first 15 minutes without actually including him whatsoever. and you know, we'll throw it over to you. Who are you? What do you do? What's going on with you?
I am, as you said, a Twitch streamer. Have been for now 2 years, just recently celebrated 2 years. And I've found that my bread and butter is Rocket League, which is, you know, a very easy game to watch and stuff. And I started as a variety caster, and I started on my Xbox One and streamed from there. It was not very professional looking at all, didn't have alerts or anything. And then as soon as I got my PC and started my first PC stream with GTA 5, you raided me. So it's pretty
really? Oh yeah, now I remember that actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was your first PC stream. Yeah.
Thank God for that variety, or else I wouldn't have met you guys. But what do? I have a job kind of as a, not a telemarketer, but like a questionnaire, you know, asking questions, and that's pretty much it. But we don't have any kind of assignments for the summer, so streaming is pretty much my job right now. Pretty much. But don't take it too seriously. Just, you know, I do it when I can.
Okay. Cool. Nice. The main talking points for this episode are going to be positivity.
Yeah,
now, we're not very good with positivity on this podcast, as has been pointed out in the
very
past.
Poorly. We start out extremely poorly if we're talking about positivity.
Yeah. we tend to, I think... This is probably a thing in general. Like, it's easier to find the negatives than it is the positives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes for everything in life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we look at GTA and we're talking about GTA, it's always about what Rockstar are doing wrong and never what they're doing right. I mean, personally, I don't think they're doing much right, but, you know.
There are some things.
But it's easier to talk about the things that annoy you than the things that keep you happy.
It's a common thing to narrate about why is this happening? Like, nobody's like, oh, I love this. Let's talk about why this works.
I mean, in reality, GTA is like this amazing game with this sprawling world and universe. And we're just like, I don't like how this car is a little bit faster than that one.
Fuck
Rockstar, right?
Yeah. Positive cast next week. Let's not go too far.
Yeah.
Let's just keep ourselves grounded. I don't think we can do that for longer than 1 week.
Realists.
Yeah.
Realist.
I like to think of myself as a realist, apart from GTA.
Every pessimist does, bro.
Every pessimist. Everyone does. The thing is, though, I don't feel like I'm necessarily a pessimist. I have things
No pessimist does. That's the thing.
Yeah, but...
they all think they're real. And they're not. They just have no hope. That's the thing. Because you can't find hope in the real world. You can't do that. There's none in there. It's got to come from somewhere that's not real.
I think I exaggerate my negativity about things. Like, do I really care about GTA cars? Like, really? No, but maybe in those moments, I just get a little bit more caring when I'm making a video than I actually do 3 weeks down the line, and I don't think about it anymore. But, you know, when it happens in the moment and you see this car that's in the wrong class or something, then you get annoyed because you see the easy... I don't know. You get... Chat, tell me if you think I'm a pessimist, an optimist, or just, you know, well-balanced. And if you say anything other than well-balanced, I'm going to ban you.
You're kind of a pessimist.
So the reason that that's the topic of conversation is because Gentleman in particular is, I think you're known, right, as being a very positive
person. Too positive. Like, here, I'll explain this to you. When I watch your streams, it's like a bell curve, okay? It's like, you know, we're starting down here. I'm not in a very good mood. Let's watch some Gentlemen. We're coming up. You know, oh, this guy's really positive. I'm feeling pretty good. Like, you know, I really wish I felt this good. Why can't I feel this good? I'm turning the stream off. I'm terrible.
It's a roller coaster with no drop. It's just
exactly
always going up.
It's just a curve, and that's how every stream that I watch of yours goes. Eventually, it ends in me being upset that I can't be as happy as you. So,
oh man, I don't know what to say. I'm like at a loss of words. But dude, I'm happy that I have some sort of influence, like any sort of influence at all. But last time that I was streaming, I was playing Limbo, and I was talking to you about this earlier, but it's a puzzle game, and I'm very stupid, so I got really annoyed and kind of angry, and people were like, dude, what? Why are you so mad? Like, I was genuinely just salty as balls, and that was, you know, that's like my high. That's like my high here. So, yeah, puzzle games, no. But when I'm playing Rocket League, that's fun, you know?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. All right. Can I just, you know, the chat, you're all a load of scumbags. And when I think the thing that says it most of all, where is it? Where to go? I'm about as balanced as the GTA car classes. That's just mean. That's just mean.
Who said that? We need to give Willsy 1980 gets a shout out for that excellent line. Good job. Well, I mean, you roast. Could be as balanced as the supercars class, which
that's
is
a balanced class.
No, yeah. I don't think that's what he was talking about at all.
No, I think it's more the utilities class over here. I think specifically
the Moonbeam. I think, and maybe
don't
the
get me started.
Compact.
This is a positive. We're meant to be about positivity. Don't get me started on car classes.
Right, yeah.
Positivity.
No, but in general, I think in life, I'm a pretty positive person, I think. I would say. I don't really see the negatives of most things, and if something goes wrong, I tend to just, you know, let's fix it, and I don't get down or anything mainly. But, you know, there are always these things that you kind of, I guess, is it... You know, Gentlemen, you are extremely positive. Is there something, though, in particular that... If you experience it, or you see it, or something that annoys you, rubs you up the wrong way, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Dude, tech issues. Tech issues makes me...
Oh, my goodness.
I start sweating, and I was doing this, as I said, I was celebrating 2 years on Twitch, and it was awesome. I had everything planned out, like, I'm going to play this game, I'm gonna play this, a little bit of this. It's going to be awesome. First hour, everything just... it was running at like 4 FPS, whatever I was capturing. So I was doing that for an hour, and Twitch chat was amazing. I was like, I'm so sorry that everything's going wrong, but let's just try to fix this. And we were just troubleshooting. It ended with I just needed to hard reset the thing, and then I could do the whole thing. But dude, I was like I was like ill. I was sweating so much, but I had to, you know, smile for the cameras and be like, hey, this is fun, guys. This is awesome. Third restart. Let's go. And
see, that's the difference. That. If that happened to me, I wouldn't try to hide it. I mean, Noss, you've recently had tech issues, right?
Woo! I've had some tech issues, boy.
Dude, we just triggered Noss like 30 times over in one sentence.
Yes. Oh my goodness. The second PC has been such a mess.
And how have you been during your tech issues? Have you been a happy character, positive and smiling and saying, let's just get through this?
I have not. No, I have been very upset. Yeah, I've been lashing out at everybody. Everyone that comes up, I just lash at them. That's all I do. That's how I cope, and it's not very good. That's why, and our other topic for the day is going to be like how you carry yourself online as well, like how you present yourself, and that's like some people out there are an entertaining angry. I mean, you've seen these stream, you know, you've seen streamers before. Like maybe, I don't know, as an example, if you watch Summit 1G, when he gets all triggered and upset and yelling and everything like that. You know, he's pretty entertaining to watch, but like
just these top tier YouTubers like Markiplier and stuff like that.
Yeah, when they get upset, they're you know, they're in character.
Like in the title, like I am gonna rage in this episode. Like millions of people watching one day, and that's just like quality entertainment.
Yeah. Well, that's how a lot of
when I get angry, I just
Noss, you little fuck.
We're talking at the same time, and I wasn't finished with my thought. I'm almost finished. Give me a second. Anyway, I'm not an entertaining angry. Go. There you go. That's my thought finished.
Well, I was going to say, that's how a lot of those bigger YouTubers kind of got popular. Like PewDiePie, he was the overreaction YouTuber, you know, the gamer that when something goes on, you know, he's playing Five Nights at Fuckboys and he's just like, you know, gets going insane.
I think I'm somewhat of an entertaining angry.
You're an entertaining frustrated. I'll give you that.
Yeah, that's
fair. If you're actually angry, you're not entertaining.
Yeah, that's
there's
fair.
A difference. There's where did that speed come from, and then there's where did that speed come from? I'm so upset. Like there's a difference.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. So. I'm not. Yeah, but I don't get angry very often, right?
I try not to, but
Don't talk to me about
tiny races.
There is showmanship angry, and then there's like real raw hatred, just loathing angry.
Just a burning hate.
I very rarely get that angry. The last time I was that angry, I can pinpoint the exact last time that I was that angry in life.
Was it on stream?
It was on stream because I had to walk out.
When was it? I don't
know. It was the end of, I can't remember which round it was, but MCC Season 3, PS4, Ron Race with Vans.
His teammate?
No. I was angry then as well, but this one happened the day after, so this one technically is the latest one.
So this was PS4 then?
Yeah, right? So when I came second in the Vans on Ron Raceway, and I felt like I should have won. And that was the Macy, the no Macy, you can't go for a dare Macy episode.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I had to walk out at the end when I crossed the line in second. I was so angry, like legitimately angry. I mean, I was angry at the teammate thing as well, but that one in particular. But yeah, that was not a good week. That wasn't the same weekend. No, because it was Muscles, wasn't it? It was Muscles and then Vans. So the Muscle round, I was angry then. That whole season of MCC was not good. I'm enjoying this one a lot more.
But
that was over a year ago. So I wouldn't say that I get angry very often. I'm quite positive most of the time. But, you know, Andy T., we haven't heard many thoughts from you. Are you angry very often? Are you positive very often? Where do you fall on this spectrum?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive, I would say. And I don't get very angry very often. And I drink a lot. So
just throwing that
kind of that eases things a bit.
It's kind of hard.
Good answer.
It's kind of hard to get really upset.
So that's how you keep the anger at bay is alcohol, then. Is that how it works?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Apple juice. Yeah, apple juice. Sorry.
Apple juice. Alcohol. I drink a lot of apple juice. I love vitamin A. Is that what apples have?
No, I was talking about rubbing alcohol when you get an injury or something.
Of course.
Alcohol and gauze.
Yeah.
Remember it, guys. It's good.
Somehow that keeps me level-headed, I guess. That's
the only thing the Dying Light taught me.
I love first aid kits. That's
dude. First aid kits of dope. Pretty good.
So there's a little segue that I want to mention before we go on to like how you present yourself online. And it's kind of relating a little bit to positivity and then negativity and how you let that affect you. But I want to just put a situation out there because this is something that happened recently with a YouTuber I watch frequently. And I'm interested to know what you guys would do in this situation. But say you are reviewing a video game. Like, that's your job. You review games. You write articles or you make videos, whatever. You have to give it a score at the end, basically, and give your thoughts. So you're reviewing this game, and it's really, really good. You're really enjoying it, and it's, you know, good enough for like a 7 or an 8 out of 10 or something like that. Really good game. Not an IGN 7, 8 out of 10, like a proper 7 or 8 out of 10. And then you get to closer to the end of the game, and you experience a bug in the game. And it's a game-breaking bug, which means that you can't complete the game without starting it again. And you would have to then play, say, the 8-10 hours of what you've already done. What would you do in the review? What would you do? You don't have the time to play through again. You've got other games that you need to play. You know, what would you do? What score would you give it? Would you continue to give it the score that you were going to give it, the 7 or the 8, or what? I'm just curious.
I'd probably give it, I would say in the review, I'd say like up until this point, it was a 7 or 8. But as of right now, this review is not completed. If this bug gets fixed, I'll be able to complete the review.
Yeah.
But I'd just be like, well, that sucks. I'll have to come back to this.
The chat can answer this as well. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely on the same horse as you, man. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, you can still write an article and give your thoughts about the game, but leave it incomplete and say, you know, I experienced a game breaking bug. And plus, I would do some research and see how widespread it is, too. If everyone else is having the same issue as well, that would be, you know, that would be score worthy, I think. But if it's just like a rare thing that's happened just to you, then, you know, it would, yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd still write an article or do a video or whatever, but there'd probably be no score, and I would just give my thoughts on the game in general.
Yeah.
But scores are bad, and everyone knows that scores are bad, yeah. But scores sell games and get funding, and, you know, and Metacritic scores are very important. Like, for instance, good old Fallout New Vegas being, like, 1 point shy of more money or whatever from the publisher, and that was dumb. You know,
I definitely agree with you that scores have been greatly changed in perspective and mentality now here in the 2010s, because like back in the day, a 7 game was a really good title.
Yeah.
Now it has to be a nine for like
you don't see like it's the same thing with IGN. You don't see anything lower than a 7, regardless of how bad it is. Like, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But the reason that I asked that is because Jim Sterling, who is a YouTuber and video game reviewer.
Thank God for Jim Sterling.
I watch all of his videos, and I think he's fantastic. But he progressively takes a very hard-line stance on, you know, microtransactions. He hates all that kind of stuff. And day one patches in games and incomplete games being released and all this kind of stuff. Like, he's sick of it. And I'm sick of it too. Like, to have a game that you need to download a patch for on the first day is just ridiculous. But this was the game. It was a game that he reviewed earlier this week. What's it called? Hellblade?
Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
Thank you, Mr. Google.
Get back in your cage, Hammer.
so he reviewed that, and he experienced this bug at the end of the game, and he put up a video with the normal review and saying what he liked about it, all this kind of stuff, but the score that he gave it was a 1 out of 10 because of this bug. And there was a lot of criticism for him from because he did that, and he thought about it. He went back and thought, yeah, okay, let's not give it a 1 out of 10. And he basically did the same thing as what you guys said, you know, and that, I think that's the right way to do it, that the review is incomplete. He's not giving a score. He can't give a score. He encountered this bug and he can't continue to play it. So unless it gets fixed and he can start from where he was, then it would just have to be an incomplete review. But, you know, the reasons that he gave for having a 1 out of 10 were that he's sick of having broken games. He's sick of having a game where it needs a patch to fix it. And originally it wasn't a very widespread bug, but since, you know, as days have gone on, more people have been experiencing it and it's become more of a thing. But, you know, when you 1 out of 10 in particular, to do that is pretty savage, as the chat says. And I think that's another example of, you know, letting that negativity cloud your judgment. Like, you've played through 8-10 hours of this game and you were really enjoying it, you were gonna, and then you get to a point where you can't finish it, and it's just then you get angry and you're going, right, screw this, I'm giving it a 1 out of 10, and you kind of lose a little bit of what you would have done under sound mind, like, you know, me just asking you guys and you all came to the same conclusion.
And, but if we were not of sound mind, we wouldn't have come to that conclusion.
Yeah,
you know, and, or we might not have, rather.
Yeah, and negativity has the potential to do that, just completely cloud your judgment and make you do something or say something or take an action that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to do that. So it is important to, you know, try and keep a level head in most things and keep positive, at least to a certain degree. Maybe you don't want to be, you know, where nothing can possibly be wrong at all, but it's good for just everything, really, not to be constantly focusing on the negatives all the time, because I mean, you probably get depressed.
Especially when your job is to your best objectively, like as close to objectively as you can, review games.
Yeah,
you shouldn't.
You're meant to be objective. Yeah,
to me, it's a different experience to what Jim Sterling went through, but it's kind of like when you're in a race in GTA and it's a really good creation, but someone knocks you off 20 times and you're like, well, fuck, downvote that shit. You're like, well, you didn't,
I don't know. I've never,
you're racing on the track. You're not voting on what the race was. You're voting the track, you know?
But some people do have that problem. I will agree. And back to reviews, I've got to say, you know, that brings up an interesting point as to whether a review is based solely on like a review, is it based on only your personal experience or on what someone else might get out of this game? You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, because taking into account that bug, which may not happen for everybody, that's basing the review on only your personal experience and not what it could be for, you know, another player. So, you know, some reviews are kind of geared towards that. Like, this is how you will have fun in the game, as opposed to this is how I had fun in the game. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, if you're not a player that really prides themselves on completion or whatever, and you're just about gameplay, you might enjoy Hellblade. But as me, Jim Sterling, this type of player, I can't give this a good grade because
I didn't personally enjoy
it. I couldn't finish it.
I think that's always the difficulty when it comes to game reviewers and reviewing anything. It's finding that balance, and it's so difficult. I can understand why people, I think people care too much as well about reviews. Like, if there's a game that somebody likes, then and it gets a mediocre review, then people go mad about it. Jim Sterling again.
Mental. They do.
He gave Zelda, the new Zelda game on the Switch, he gave it a 7 out of 10, which for him,
that did not make people happy. I already know.
Yeah, but for him, that's a good score because he doesn't base. He's not like the IGNs where he actually give games a 1, 2, or 3 if they are really bad, stuff like that. So 7 for him is a good score, but there were things that he thought could have been better, and you know, he was
and
just
I'm
giving
sure there
his
was
opinion.
Stuff on the
he
game
gave
that
his
could
review.
Be a lot better.
Yeah. So he was giving an honest review, but Zelda fans did not like that. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, I remember that.
Fans in general aren't a big fan of that. All of their games are 10 out of 10. I bought the Switch. All the games there are good. Nintendo, praise Nintendo. they can do no wrong. Most of their fans are like that, so they will get upset very quickly.
And now they've all just gotten upset at this episode of the podcast.
Thanks, yeah, for me accusing them of being like that.
Yeah, I remember like also comparing other games and saying that other game is better than the other one. Like, it was 2009, and I really liked Gears of War. I really liked it. So I found this video. Yeah, it's a good game. Oh, okay. I thought that we were like connecting. Oh,
nah, Bruffy's a big fan.
No, Bruff is connecting just in
I started my channel with Gears of War.
That's awesome. Anyway, I really liked it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to look for Gears of War content on YouTube. Boom, put it in. And there's this Gears of War versus Halo. And I didn't know what Halo was. Halo is one of my favorite games of all time, but not at the time. And they said that Halo was better than Gears of War. And I was like, I commented like, you guys are stupid over at IGN.
Yeah.
And I was just watching the comment section. I didn't even sleep for like 5 days. And it was just, nobody's responding to me. Anyway, what I'm trying to get to is like, people take it way too seriously. Like, their opinions are like facts to them, man. It's just dangerous sometimes.
Yeah, this was before Positive Gentleman, and this was
oh yeah, for sure,
that.
Dude. Yeah.
This is your version of 18-year-old Bruffy, then.
Let's not mention 18-year-old Bruffy. The next part of the podcast is about how you carry yourself online, and I don't want people to remember 18-year-old Bruffy.
Everyone remembers Bruff. 18-year-old Bruffy. Everyone remembers.
God damn it. Yeah, it can be dangerous. It can be bad for, I think, your own mindset as well. If you're so, you'd like your opinions are so strong and so negative about anything that differs from your opinions. It's not only not nice to be putting that out there, but it must be bad for your own mindset itself as well to always be like that.
Yeah, I mean, even just think about just blind loyalties to things like console wars when people they're a huge difference. That's a bit different, but
yeah, it also goes the other way as well. Like, positivity being blind positivity, like with blind loyalty to, it works that way too. Anyway, carry on.
Like, if you look at like any of the either Battlefield or Call of Duty trailers, you always see people saying like, Battlefield's so much better than this one. This is stupid. It's so dumb. And you're like, can't they both be good games?
People will comment that before they even hear the then they hear that sound and they've immediately, this is better than Call of Duty. So, they don't even need a trailer or any gameplay. It's just Battlefield's better than Call of Duty, and that's how it is. So
God.
But it seems like in life in general, it's always the extremes. You have the extremes on either end of everything, like opinions, politics, religion.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It goes far outside of gaming, like,
yeah,
and it's very dangerous to be very persistent, I guess, about your opinions. And that's I don't talk about my real life that often, but I live in the deep south of Alabama, and
what
yes I do. So it's very very hard down here to deal with the opinions of others.
I thought you were a Nantucket socialite. I didn't realize you were from Alabama.
When your opinions differ so greatly from not only other people but from the majority, it's a very difficult thing to deal with. So,
And I think like that there's so many the extremes on either end of everything always overshadow and shout louder than everybody who has maybe a more reasoned mind who can look at both. They have their own opinions, but they can see where the other side's coming from and don't get an argument about it.
And I have to struggle to do that every day I go outside.
Yeah.
Which isn't very many days, but that's something.
Sweet home Alabama.
But yeah, as you're saying, talking to those people that have different opinions but are like open to talk about it and don't get salty over it.
And those are hard to find, let me tell you.
Yeah, one of my best friends is that way. I'm going to be hanging out with him later on and I'm going to tell him, hey, let's talk about why you like 2001 A Space Odyssey and I don't get it and I don't like it very much for like the sixth time.
You don't like 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Why do I look? I look this way, right?
You don't want giant space fetuses?
What the fuck, man? What are you talking about?
I just I just don't get it too much. It's just that ending. Not going to spoil it for those that haven't seen it. But
yeah, don't spoil it, because who's never played anything, who's never watched anything, I haven't seen it, so...
You need to go watch. Take 6 hours of your time and go watch. Dude, go watch.
I've seen it twice. I watched it with my girlfriend, and she was just in a coma. She was so bored. The shots are just like...
And now you see the negativity of the Choking Hazard podcast coming
Jesus
out.
Christ.
How can you not like it? The chat's gone mental as well. Like,
nah, did you see what I saw?
What?
When you turned your chair, she was just sitting there behind you. It was like a fucking horror film. I was so frightened there for a second.
It's a small apartment. It's a small apartment. But it's good. I can scream. Yeah. I can scream here. So that's good.
Can we come to a middle ground? 2001 A Space Odyssey for its time is a very beautiful movie. Can we agree
true.
With that?
There true. We go. And when I see the monolith, it fills me with dread. So it does what it sets out to be. The shots are great, great cinematography.
Oh, yes.
The plot is all right. And the end.
It's a little hard to follow.
Difficult for dumb old me to understand. But my friend, he can talk about it for hours. He read the book.
He read the book. Oh, yeah.
Never hang out with him ever again. Call him right now. Say, hey, listen, this old friendship thing's not going to work
out. Can we all agree that The Matrix is a fantastic movie?
The first one. Second one is all right. We don't talk about that.
Wait, I don't know if we want to go down the movie rabbit hole. We might want to climb back
Well, maybe that's
my favorite movie is Chinatown. Starring Jack Nicholson, directed by Roman Polanski, who fucked a child.
I have a pretty basic favorite movie of all time.
Fun fact. What is that?
Shutter Island. I really like that movie. It's fantastic.
It's not often recent movies are a choice for your favorite movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it takes people by surprise. But it's a movie that I watch once every 1.5 years. So I watch it and it's fresh. And I'm like, oh, dude, yeah. And then I watch it again and I've kind of forgotten about it. Those are the best. It's got that good plot that you forget about. You know the puzzle pieces, but you don't know where they go, you know? And I really like that movie. It's such a good
movie. We need to have a movie podcast at some point, a podcast discussing movies.
Please.
That's what we need. Yeah, we'll get the chat involved. We'll just talk about, we did with the video game nostalgia episode a few weeks ago. We'll do movies, best movies.
Anyway, let's climb out of this hole.
How you present yourself online is kind of what we were gonna go towards.
Yeah. It's just open. Okay, cool.
RDT presents himself quite interestingly, I think, online. As we saw from last week's episode, with I just matched with a girl called Shaniqua on Tinder.
Yeah, I didn't talk to her.
Oh no, I bet she isn't. I bet you she is not a good girl, RDT. You need to stay far away from Shaniqua. Just warning you now.
I don't know. Coming from an Alabama voice, that doesn't sound too good. I'm not gonna accuse you of anything, but.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Do you guys? I obviously do. Now, I probably didn't originally. I certainly didn't when I was 18, as we all know. But gentleman probably thinks about it now as well. And Nos, do you thinking about it in terms of you are conscious of the things that you do or what you say?
Oh, yeah.
When you say things online,
It doesn't help me making bad choices. I'm very conscious of my bad choices.
Right. Okay.
The character that I play, I understand it's a poor choice, but it's easy, gets easy laughs, so we're gonna do it anyway. It's a poor decision, makes me seem stupid and very annoying to some, and I'm unwatchable to some people, I understand that, but
I get that too.
I mean, it goes for everyone, I think.
Oh, you get how I could be unwatchable. Yeah, I understand. Well, it's just like watching yourself, except lower quality and Southern. So, there's no reason to experience yourself twice, bro. That'd be a little too much.
For me, I think I'm very conscious of... I try to be as professional as possible when it comes to... Certainly not Twitch. Don't Give me that look. Everybody give the same look.
No, I was laughing at A to the J. And also you, because that's ridiculous just what you're saying.
I'll get to why I made that face when
okay,
you
know. Okay. When it comes to YouTube and the YouTube videos, I tried to keep it more professional level because I feel like YouTube is so full of, you know, nonsense, especially with GTA. I want to have some integrity and morals and things like that because you don't seem to get that on YouTube much.
I think they're overrated.
You think they're overrated?
Absolutely.
What, integrity and morals?
Yes, they're completely overrated. I mean, like, you look at your YouTube paycheck and then you look at some of the scums, it's overrated to me. Just forget that. Morals, integrity, doesn't get you anywhere in life.
If money is your only goal, then I can see where you're coming from.
No, but more morals and integrity will not get you far. No.
But when it comes to my streams, obviously, you know, I know the chat gave me shit just then, but when it comes to my streams, I'm less professional. I know this, but that's more because I'm like a rabbit caught in the headlights most of the time and don't have a clue what I'm doing.
Did you say a rabbit?
Yeah.
God, I'm hearing all these new things. Gentleman said we're on the same horse earlier. I was like, I don't know. I'm riding in front. I don't give a shit. And then you're saying a rabbit? It's a deer caught in the headlights.
They don't.
It's not a rabbit.
Deer over there?
We have deer, but it's not the same. There are more rabbits.
But do rabbits typically freeze when encountering a car? I thought they move.
We kill them too quickly, the deer. We have them served up on our plate too quickly. So. Worry about it.
Problem down here as well.
Okay, maybe it's a British thing then.
Anyway, what were you saying?
I don't know now. I've lost my with my streams. I'm not as, you know, professional, but I feel like the streams are a place where it's more chilled out anyway. But I do try to, you know, be moral and have some integrity and stuff when it comes to my online, how I act online, but that's how I am in real life as well. So it's just an extension of that. But it is sometimes difficult, you know, if you want to just blare out a lot of nonsense. Sometimes you just think, maybe I shouldn't say something like that. Mm. But what's your experience has been, gentlemen, with this sort of thing?
So, with things that I say, you're talking about just on casts or on Twitter or just whatever?
Just in general.
Just in general, yeah. Online in general. Yeah.
How do you carry yourself online? That's the topic.
I just try to be the way I am, pretty much. I don't really have, like, this vast, I'm just outgoing and, you know, trying to be welcoming to people. If I go to someone's chat, I say hi to all the people that, you know, say hi to me and, you know, to my friends and stuff. And on Twitter, I pretty much just, sometimes I comment on, like, somebody put I made a burger. Cool, I want to eat it. You know, like, that's very simple, you know?
Like, do you ever censor yourself, I think, is more the question. Like, are there things that you want to say that you second guess yourself and think, maybe that's not really in my character to say that at this time?
Not really. Sometimes I try to not cuss as much as I do because I feel like I do that when I play video games. But just when I'm talking to my girlfriend, I'm not like, whoa, what a bunch of cuss words. Whoa, bab, boobity boo. Like, it's just, you know.
Wow, that was the most G-rated thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Give it a bow. But, I just try to, you know, I don't know. I don't really filter out too much. I just put the webcam on and I'm just stressed out. So everything that I say is, you know, just in the moment, you know. I'm always stressed when I'm streaming, always. So if I say something weird,
it's okay when you're controlled, but, you know, when you're just naturally controlled. But you remove the filter on someone who's not naturally controlled and some bad things can happen. So, you know, that's.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I'm a pretty. Like I said, the way that I carry myself online is very, very similar to the way that I carry myself in real life anyway. But it must be more difficult if you are a naturally more opinionated or more out there person. it must be difficult to be, we don't really have someone like that, I think, on the stream at the minute to ask that, but it's maybe something hammer. For another time if we have someone like that, that you know, you can say things that will get you in hot water and can be pretty detrimental. I mean, you, how many YouTube channels and Twitch channels and things have said things and then been banned or had issues or just lost a lot of subscribers.
Had to apologize.
Things
are,
yeah, how about apologizing that, and that taking
dude
it back.
Working for Google.
Yeah, that's recent news, yeah. He'd gone.
Lost his job.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the internet nowadays is it's such a connected world that you could literally, I saw people saying he should lose his job and no one should ever hire him. You're like literally just hoping that this guy's life is ruined by one thing that he said.
Just like that, you know.
And Angry Joe, that's another good point. Angry Joe has had issues with his fans recently. It's difficult to try and work your way through that web of everybody's got a different opinion and everybody's got their own opinion and you've got so many people wanting you to do one thing and then you do another thing and then some people say it's right, some people don't, and then those arguments cause arguments between these people, and then it just, you know, one little thing that most people can maybe pass off just gets a few people started and then it just evolves into something huge. So you got to be careful. Thankfully, I don't think any of us are like that in real life. So we won't have any issues, hopefully.
I'm just like politics, that's very, you know, hush-hush, and I'm like the least, I'm the most politically incorrect person ever. I know nothing. I only know that Donald Trump is president. That's it. That's, you know, the extent of
it. I don't think that's politically incorrect. I think that's political ignorance, maybe.
That's one for one, at least. I got that right.
It's more like willful ignorance.
I know a little thing about being politically incorrect, because that's what I have to play into. With the whole, look at me, I'm from Alabama. Yup. So, you know, you throw out a few jokes. Hopefully people won't get offended. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, you know, but as long as it's all in jest, you know.
Imagine if Nas was actually like Canadian this entire time.
No.
That'd be a great twist.
Just a high quality character.
I think something that we haven't actually covered yet is where you're from. Gentlemen, where you are from?
Oh, I'm from Iceland.
There you go.
I'm an Icelandic.
I imagine people seem to think that you're from the US, right? A lot.
America. People think I'm from America. Yeah. A lot of people think so. It's just, this is what I say to everyone. Hey, I thought you were American. Wow. It's like, yeah, I just watched a lot of Jim Carrey movies when I was young. Really liked Jim Carrey. That's pretty much, I spoke English and I don't speak with, there's this Icelandic accent. It's horrible.
Is it similar to like a Swedish, a Swinglish type?
No. I'll give you hang on. Hello, everyone. I'm Icelandic and this is how we talk. This is how we talk English. This could be my voice, but you know, I just adapted to the American accent.
It's like
accent,
the international Alabaman. That's what it sounds like.
But yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, I played a lot of Ratchet and Clank and a bunch of that. That's like an American game. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Just gotta stop hitting this microphone. And yeah, just, you know, I really like the Americanized media. And I, you know, now everything around us, we center everything around America pretty much. We kind of want to be America. We're like this close to it pretty much. We're like almost out of Europe.
Fuck like, yeah. You can keep talking. I'm just gonna do this in the background.
So the one time that we don't have a guest on from the US, and therefore I actually have like two for two from Europe to guests to US guests. He's more American than the two. Yeah, he speaks American. He likes America.
God bless America.
I can't win. We need a British guest. Sarch was the last British guest. And that was episode 3.
Sarge is such a good guy.
Although GTA man, I think he gets lost in the.
Oh yeah, GTA man.
Yeah, GTA man was GTA man is European, so at least he balanced that out a little bit.
We have a British guest in 2 weeks. Next week is American, though. Next week is American, and the week is British. So you're going to have to bide your time.
We'll tell you at the end who next week is.
See, it can never be a... It's never, ever going to be a majority in my favor. It's I'm always going to be at least 50-50, but most of the time outgunned by the Americans.
Oh, well, you're always outgunned by the Americans, my friend.
Literally.
But anyway, I can touch on the accent topic with you a bit. Obviously, it's very difficult to be from somewhere where the accent is not good, and it does not set a good image for you.
Southern accent is fantastic.
Yeah, on a cute
newscaster's accent,
like on a cute girl or a really tough guy on Babyface McDoofus over here, it doesn't really help. Like, it does not help. And a lot of people, you have such a Southern accent. Like, go outside in my county. You won't be able to understand people.
Ooh, I'm down.
And right now, you getting no dog out?
Now, get the dog out of that mouth.
Give it a bam.
I've never been to America. So.
And there are some terms like, you're gonna wanna go past the holler and then take a left at the quick sack, and then you wanna go past the dang old rocks on the side of the road, but not the big rocks, little rocks, and then you wanna go over this kind of hump here. And then you're gonna
We get it. God damn
it. I didn't actually want to interrupt, I just wanted to hear
to get to where I'm going, basically.
The Icelandic version is so much worse. So you go over here, when you get to the gas station, you turn right, and then you go to the left when you see the church, and don't go near the church. it's filthy.
I just sound like I should be on Fox News talking about,
dude, you'd be perfect for Fox News. You got the face too,
and the S&P 500 is up 20 points this week.
Why Fox?
Over to you, John.
I do, as Bloody Squirrel said in the chat, I do tone down the Northeast England accent a lot.
Yeah, I think all of us kind of, maybe not RDT, but all three of us try to tone down our accent.
If I get into the zone, I'll be like in the morning, I'll be like, hey, can I get a cup of coffee and, maybe chocolate? So, let the dog out, stuff like that. But,
I speak like this more now in real life as well. Like, when I first started with YouTube videos, I really did have to, I know I don't do it still, but I had to pronounce words more. And if you think that I don't, I've still got a strong accent, this is how bad it could be. A lot worse is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's become the way that I speak because I just like speaking this way a bit better, to be honest.
it's a lot easier to understand. I try that to some degree. I try. I fail miserably, but I do try.
All right. So let's move on to our regular segments. The Choking Hazard Podcast Choke of the Week,
Choke of the Week. Let's take it right into the Choke of the Week. Gentlemen, have you watched the Choke of the Week?
Did you watch them?
I can start today.
They're in the Choke Chat. We're going to show them to everybody watching. I'll let you guys know when I start playing the playlist.
I got to finish this.
Please give us a taste of your real accent. No. Maybe if we ever do a drunk stream or something, it'll come out. Like, maybe that's when it's going to happen. But I can't consciously make that decision anymore. It's just not a thing that I want to do.
We should definitely do a drunk podcast with Nos being our designated caster.
Our designated sober person, yeah.
All right, so let's have a look at these chokes. I'm going to start it playing now.
Seems as though we are in a tube. We are Chilead. Also in a Nero custom. Chilead yes, choke. Stunt race. Stunt races are very, very good for chokes. Chokes all the time.
Who is this again?
L. Shelby.
Oh, Shelby, okay.
Landing off the road could be a problem.
No, that's not. Yeah,
I'm still waiting for it.
Just the wrong line. And then he's down.
I will give him some credit on his respawn time, though. He was on that button very quickly.
Yeah. He knew.
Yeah, I mean that was
that ship's coming.
That was. I mean, if you want, if you're listening to this, if you're one of our wonderful people who listen to the podcast,
on your way to work,
you,
driving,
thank you,
there's the shout out every week. Go to about 50 minutes into the podcast and you'll see
or at
on
work.
YouTube.
A lot of people are at work listening, and that's the best.
We have our second one, our second choke. As you saw the zoom in on the name there, we have Mr. Boss for the win in the session.
I doubt it's really.
I don't know.
Is he going to go over? He's gone.
Nice bike physics.
Wow, there's got some difficult.
Damn.
He's still in the lead, though.
It's very close.
Oh, he got overtaken at the end.
And look who has overtaken him. The one, the only. Mr. Boss for the win.
Mr. Boss, everyone's favorite rapscallion.
Oh, that's harsh.
What a shame.
Oh, God.
And here we go. We're in the Jester. You know, I chose it.
These are all proper chokes. Everybody's been in first place. I'm happy about this.
In first place in the final turns of the race as well. As we come around, and the Jester.
You can see the finishing line as well.
So close yet so far
Rip
away.
Indeed. Absolutely wrecked.
Rip in peace, man.
Yeah, feels man. Bad.
Who was that last one from?
Feels bad, man.
Crazy Squirrel.
Crazy Squirrel, so we had Shelby Oleg and Crazy Squirrel. Was that, that surely wasn't actually Mr. Boss for the win.
He was in the boss crew.
It all adds up, man.
That makes it even worse.
It wouldn't surprise me.
All these chokes, I've got to say, all these chokes have been fantastic.
We had BenL85 in the chat say that Mr. Boss actually streamed it, so.
Shit.
Oleg, I don't know
if that's a reliable source.
Oleg stream sniping Mr. Boss, that's what was happening.
And
it was the real deal.
He chokes it for all of us. Oleg's out there representing all of us.
Yeah.
And he chokes
it.
Wow. It's not just him.
Jesus.
That's rough.
So we've had three. I'm really impressed with the quality of the chokes this week. All of them. All of them from first place. Easy wins. And they've all been significant chokes. Like they've been, they should never have happened. They should never have had these chokes. So,
no.
I'm well impressed with all of them. I've got to say, we got the straw poll in the chat. Feel free
vote
to vote for it. And if you have chokes that you want to submit, the link is in the description of the YouTube video or the show notes online on iTunes or the audio version. And also in the Twitch chat with the command your chokes. Did you see the time difference as well at the end? 1/10 of a second.
Oh, dude, I'm seeing it right now. Holy
1/10 of
damn.
A second it was in the end of that second one.
And then doesn't matter if you win by a second or a foot or fuck it.
just back it right out of there.
I want that tattooed on my butt. It doesn't matter.
All right, so those are our chokes for this week. Who's gonna win?
Good selection, chokes.
Yeah, really good selection. That I think that's the best week we've had. If you take all three of the choices, they could have won in all three could have won in previous weeks. I would say
yes.
Yeah, we had a good selection this week. I had a hard time choosing.
Yeah, there were better ones. Feel free to resubmit chokes if your choke doesn't win and even get shown, or your choke doesn't even get shown at all as part of the top three. Feel free to resubmit them in future. But do you guys have your favorites?
Yes,
I do.
I voted for Who's the Boss. I thought that was pretty good.
You can't sway the people, gentlemen. Damn it.
Oh, am I not supposed to? I voted for all of them. I went on all my browsers, I voted for all of them.
He's so positive, he thinks everyone should win.
Yeah, that's it. do we have a winner on the vote yet?
We do. We've got a clear winner.
A clear winner, okay. Well, let's give our thoughts then before we hear the actual... What are you guys... What will we all be winners?
Gotta be Who's the Boss, right? Losing to such a man of high stature or low stature or low gains is very hard. It was hard to watch. It's hard to see. I feel very bad for Oleg, and I think he just needs something to make it better. And this won't this won't fix him. This will not make him whole again after losing to Mr. Boss for the win, but it is something. And I think it's our duty and our obligation, really, to help him in his time of need. So clip number two is definitely my choice.
What about you, RDT?
I'm going to have to agree. I think all three chokes, people were, you know, my grandfather would say, hogs get slaughtered. And they were just going for that, you know, trying to demoralize the lobby. And Oleg went for a little bit extra, tried to showboat Hot Dog a little bit, and he ended up losing.
Yes.
He was the ultimate choke.
Okay, so, I mean, that's pretty unanimous so far. I think mine is exactly the same, to be honest. How could I go against it? I think all of the chokes, like I said, were worthy of chokes of the weeks. Like, they were all very, very strong. Some of the best chokes we've seen overall, but there can only be one winner every week. And I think the reason that my favorite is Oleg's choke is that it was against Mr. Boss. It was so close. And he didn't not only just choke it for himself, he was representing all of us, and he choked it. It was a collective choke for all of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that respect, because of who ended up beating him by less than one tenth of a second it was in the end.
And so, it's interesting
just posted the video. From Mr. Boss's perspective.
Right, okay.
And what I was going to say, it's very interesting that we know like the skill level of the opponent in this clip as well. And that is to say that there is no skill. So for Oleg to lose there, it's just very embarrassing.
I mean, he respawned and still almost won.
Yeah. Come on, then. Put us out of our misery that we were expecting.
Well, gentlemen.
He already said.
Yeah, he ruined it for everyone. God damn it.
You're not getting invited back. No. So yeah, we've got a clear victory from Oleg, who is clearly the worst because he failed to the worst.
Oh, yeah. Good job.
Well done, Oleg. You are horrible. You are terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. You are
kick him from the crew.
He's the choke of the week.
Me personally, I liked choke number three the best. I thought it was like
they were all fantastic.
The last lap is just.
I mean, they were all just before the finish line. That's what made them all so good. Like,
yeah, they were all great.
Yeah, they were all fantastic. They would in any other week, they would have all been winners.
Yeah.
All right, so RDT's Apple Juice Minute, do you think? Yeah. Is that what we're going
to
go for?
Should we tell people to get the phone bank first before we forget?
Yeah, let's do that. I forgot about that, actually. If you want to ask your questions, get in the phone bank on Discord, open to regulars, supporters on Patreon, or subscribers on Twitch. And you can ask our questions that we shall answer. It can be for any of us.
It can be for all of us. It can be for one of us. It could be for gentlemen. Maybe you just want to come in here and you want to ask him just the same question we've been asking him once again. How is he so positive? You come in here, just ask whatever question you have on your mind, on your heart, and we'll get it answered for you. So jump in the phone bank. We'll get it taken care of. So let's move on.
Okay, that was weird.
All right. Oh, man. Nas, it's good to be home. It's good to be back.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
In the United States.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. You know, we were over in fucking communist Europe over there.
That was awful last week.
No, their ass from their elbow. All right. We're back home, and we're going to a fantastic city. And when I say fantastic, I'm using that very generously. When you think of Cleveland, Ohio, you think of the culture and the prestige and everything,
and
right? You think about all those things. Yeah.
All of those things.
High crime rate. You don't think about any of those things because Cleveland's terrible. Cleveland has three things. They have LeBron. They've got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that it's not Detroit. So there has to be a reason to brew such a great beer, you know? Great Lakes Brewery has this Burning River Pale Ale. It's the only way to distract yourself from the horribleness of your second-rate Cincinnati, all right? Ohio's best city, if I do say so myself. So go grab yourself I spent a hefty $10 on a six-pack of this stuff, and it was well worth it. So, You don't have to be. The good news is you don't have to go to Cleveland to get this. Oh. I could get this in New Jersey, yeah. And I'm giving all this criticism from New Jersey, so you know Cleveland is bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Great Lakes Brewery, Burning River Pale Ale. Suck one down.
Pale ale is so good. Really like stouts as well. They're awesome.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. That was RDT's Apple Juice Minute.
Not bad this week, you know?
So we've actually had a good solid beer this week.
Is this? Oh, yeah, it's happened? Really good.
Yeah, really good.
I'm a huge fan. Just not drinking all.
Sorry, not beer, apple juice. Apple juice.
Yeah, apple juice. Yeah, apple juice.
Cool. I'm thinking about Bruffy's Racing Corner, but I don't think we've really got anything to say. I don't think there's a mid-season break with the F1 and trying to talk about anything other than
Bruffy's MCEC Corner. I mean, we can talk about that. You sound very okay. I can see that you're really into
Bruffy's trying to get this over with.
Well, I mean, the MCEC has its own videos. It has its own series. Like, it doesn't. We don't need to go. Maybe we could get your, your opinions on how you are.
I wanted to play a game with gentlemen, actually.
Yeah, like.
Did you guys see that game that I wanted to play with him?
What?
It's, what did I call it? Shit.
Oh, yeah. Look that up. What'd you say? I remember it.
Keep them positive. That's what I wanted to play.
Keep them positive.
It's a game.
Yeah. I wanted to present him with three different scenarios.
Okay.
And see how he would keep the person positive.
Keep the person that should not be positive. Yeah,
not at all. And there are increasing levels of brutality. Okay. Not brutality. That's a strong word. But, you know.
Okay.
Should we play the game?
Dude, hit me with it, man.
Let's play.
All right, scenario number one.
Okay.
You're walking down the street. You see this 5-year-old kid. He's it's a hot summer day. He's enjoying a nice soft serve ice cream cone. He's, la, 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 la. He's licking it up. And then all of a sudden, he just drops on the ground. And he starts to cry. What do you say to this little 5-year-old boy?
I look and see if there are, you know, I'm a 22-year-old man speaking to a 5-year-old kid. I'll like look around like, hey, is this like, does this look bad? Okay. Hey, kid.
Society is terrible that's your first thought is, can I talk to this child without looking like I'm going to molest him?
Yeah. Shit's changed.
Just because you're a man. It's awful.
I would grab a nickel out of my wallet and I would go,
what
son,
year is it?
I don't know. Iceland has nickels. our goddamn currency is just so bad. Anyway, I would grab a nickel from my man purse and I would be like, hey, get yourself another ice cream. You're only where are your parents? Where are your parents? I'll be your father.
Where are your parents?
let's get some more ice cream. Let's get two ice creams.
That would really keep you positive.
And another one for you, because you're a kid.
I'm sorry to inform you that he got the ice cream from a truck, and the truck is now 5 miles away.
I would make my own ice cream for the kid. Can't be that difficult.
Okay. Oh, that sounds really sexual. I would look around before you did that. Double-fisted ice cream, man. Two ice creams.
Scenario two.
Okay.
All right. You got a... 5-year-old kid, same fun kid.
Sorry. Is this just from the top of your head, or did you write this down?
Maybe, I don't know. Same 5-year-old kid, same. He's having a terrible week. Walking his dog. I don't know why he's out there on his own, but he's just.
Who is this kid's parents?
He has the worst parents in all of humanity. This is unbelievable.
He's walking his puppy. And he actually lets go of the leash and it gets hit by an ice cream truck. Holy shit. how do you keep that kid positive?
Is that the ice cream truck that he just bought the ice cream from?
Maybe it is.
Okay. So the dog is just there, dead. And get his crying.
No. We're stepping it up. The dog is not dead. It is on its last leg.
It's dying.
Yes, it's dying.
It's dying. It's bleeding out.
It's about to die. There's nothing you can do about it.
It's crying. It's screaming. It's yelping. It's real bad. It's real bad. It's
It's not real gonna bad. Live. That's basically what we're saying.
Give him a nickel for a
Utah. I would right. call every single bouncy castle company in Iceland and ask them to come to the funeral for the dog.
Oh,
so
wow.
The kid would be able to jump its problems away, because that's shitty. That's a shitty, shitty week.
That's and a that's terrible just scenario, scenario number two.
I have a feeling that scenario three is, man. So yeah. We are going to get like a lot of bouncy castles. The kid is going to have a really good time and forget about it, because I'll give it ice cream, man. You know, it will be. It will forget about the dog.
No, the kid's probably very turned off of ice cream at this point.
Yeah, ice cream's not like a triggering effect on the kid, I think, with the ice cream truck and losing his, like, yeah.
Yeah, like those numb flashbacks every time he sees the word ice cream.
I'm curious to what episode, what scenario three is going to be now.
I feel like I'm not doing very well in this game.
I don't think you are.
I don't know. Okay. I'd be happy with a bouncy castle, I guess. All right. Let's move on to scenario three. You get this kid. Let's say he's like 5 years old or something.
This kid's already having a bad week. This is the worst 6 years week. Old.
I just want to hear that he's 1 year older.
Ice cream earlier in the week, and some weirdo came up to him and said, "I'll make you ice cream," and then his fucking dog died right in his lap. Just crying right in front of him. And in all of the bouncy castles and ice cream trucks, he goes home and his fucking house is on fire. What do you do with that? What are you going to do at that point, gentlemen?
I will make a house out of one of the bouncy castles, and I'll put a roof on the castle, and you can move it around. So you don't have to, if you're tired of the scenery, you could just... Uh-huh.
Is adoption a possible strategy that keeps this kid happy?
Adopting?
Yeah, could.
I already stole it.
No parents, obviously.
I mean, he didn't have parents before, but if they're in the house at this point, then
his parents are dead too. That
oh, God.
Good.
Jeez.
I hope they're dead. I hope they died, came back to life, and died again. Jesus. This poor kid, I mean, you know? Anyway, I don't know. I would just get Leonardo DiCaprio to just, you know, do the worm in front of him or something like that.
Good answer.
I
think that you would win. Gentlemen wins with Leonardo DiCaprio. And that was keep them positive.
He kept the child positive. Good job.
Yeah, what do I get?
Job. Jesus.
Positive results from
you
that?
You win a five-year-old kid. He will be knocking on your door very shortly.
Yeah.
Just when you thought this was a game and this was all fake.
This was all real. This all happened.
This is a real child.
Jesus.
Poor child.
Oh, man. That was.
Oh, my God. That was
poor kid.
That was on the spot action. That was so stressed out.
You stepped up to the plate.
All right. Phone bank. Have we got any questions?
Phone bank. Do we have any callers on the Choking Hazard podcast today? Do we have any?
We sure do. The first question is from QuickNet Tech.
Hello, hey, caller. QuickNet. You're on the Choking Hazard podcast. So you've got this kid. What's your question?
Can we just drop this kid, like, figuratively and literally, please?
Hello, QuickNet. Who's your question for, and what's your question?
Questions for Bruffy. And I was just curious, would you be willing to do one of those... videos about the new brake boosting thing?
Well, I mean,
we gotta handle
short shifting first. I mean, people have been asking me to do a short shifting video for God knows how long.
Yeah, can you teach me true. So I can compete in MCEC, please?
Well, yeah, it's really. Basically my plan at the moment is, because the short shifting has taken so long, and there's now a brake boosting, which is kind of pretty much the same as short shifting, really. And then there's another kind of thing that you can do as well. And then there's all these other things. I'm going to try to make a video that's just tricks of the trade.
I'm uninstalling GTA. Just putting that out there. I'm tired. I'm tired of this game. I'm uninstalling. I'm playing real racing games from now on.
What, like now?
Yes. uninstalling.
He's
currently.
Uninstalling.
Well, this is the best time to do it. At least it gives someone your place in the MCC who can have all 8 rounds.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess
that was a topic conversation.
if you allow me to elaborate, I guess, what are all of your guys' thoughts on all of these kind of, I guess, BS little things, right? You've
it's
got break
garbage.
Boosting, short shifting, yeah, curve boosting, GTA. Frame boosting, all these other little things.
It's GTA, you know. And this is what we get for racing in GTA.
I mean,
but having said that, you know, when it comes to real life racing, there are so many different tricks and little things. Like, if you put lots of drivers in the same car with the same tires and same setup and everything, then more often than not, they'll be extremely close on pace. What separates drivers in the same machinery or drivers in general is the little tricks, so the setup of the car, how they balance it, just getting the suspension levels right, all these different aero things right, getting it set up for them. And there's all these different tricks to driving styles and things that, you know, us normal people probably can't even fathom. There's always, whether it's racing or high-level sport in general, there's always an extra level above and then a level above and then a level above that you just do not understand. But from the outside, you can always look at these things and think, well, that's giving him an unfair advantage because he knows about it and I don't know about it. But there's like things like this in everything, and that's just what it is. So, you know, you get to a point in GTA where you get sick of these things, but it is what it is. We would rather they weren't in, but what can you do about it? It's part of the game, and yeah, there are real racing games out there, but then they have 20, 30 different ways to set up your car that give you other different tricks that make you go quicker. So, you know, I'm ending the rant there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like you asked, what are the thoughts of the others? I don't play GTA 5 unless like once a year or something. It's a fun game. Anyway, you're touching on that there are different types of tricks, you know, in the game in order to, you know, get momentum and stuff like that. That is actually, I'm going to offer my two cents on, like in Rocket League, there are these, you know, weird workarounds in order to do something, and it's something that you have to master.
Yeah, like fast kickoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, like wave dashing and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, that's inherent in every competitive game now as well. Like, it's just part of gaming these days.
Yeah, it was also in Halo 2. Like, there was this BXR where there was this quicker way to reload. Like, it's going to be in every single game, and I look at that like higher tier players will be able to utilize that as like a pro thing. And is that kind of what you're talking about here in GTA? Is this something that...
Yeah, it's basically exactly the same sort of thing.
Okay.
Tricks that the faster drivers use to make them go quicker, essentially.
Okay. Although, I feel like when it comes to Rocket League, those are things that are... it's not really an exploit, where I feel like curb boosting and short shifting are something that the developers, it was more of an oversight that people now abuse.
Yeah, they're not... it's not a design choice.
Like, you're saying in Rocket League, if you want to do an aerial, it's better if you double jump and fucking go into the air. You know, you can master these things, which you can master how to hit a curb boost or whatever, but it's more of a skill that you're supposed to be able to do.
Okay.
As opposed to in GTA, if someone doesn't block off a bump or a curb, some people will know to go hit that, and they'll get a half a second, you know, advantage on that lap over someone else.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all part of shoddy Rockstar game design. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Using an old engine.
Positivity. We love everything.
All right. I guess one last thing on that. And you know, we have things like bunny hopping and rocket jumps, things like that. You know, those were exploits at one point and have been turned into features. Do you think any of the things in GTA that are currently exploits may become essentially features at some point?
Not in this GTA.
No.
I don't care enough in future installments.
I mean, I think manual shifting would be cool.
I was going to say exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
that's something I would like to see.
But I don't know whether we would, because, I mean, GTA isn't a racing game, and it's... having said that, Midnight Club was leaked. Rockstar could be making a new Midnight Club.
Ooh.
I forgot to mention that last week, but it's too late. We'll talk about it in next week's podcast. Someone remind me.
I just hope it's not crap like the new NFS games.
Yeah, that's the thing. GTA isn't a racing game. It's meant to be a game that, I mean, the 99% of players who play GTA don't care about any of these things that we talk about, shot shifting, care boosting, all that stuff. Yeah, there's one of them.
They don't even know.
Yeah, they don't know about it. They don't know it exists. They don't care about it. So, to put manual transmission into GTA, I don't even think that'll happen because it's not the target audience for the game. If exploits are there for racing purposes, the developers aren't really bothered because that's not the primary problem. They don't need to spend time fixing that or changing that because it's not a racing game.
It's crazy when auto is, 33% of the title, and then they don't care about it as much,
Yeah. If the new rumored Midnight Club is similar to how racing is in GTA, I think I'll be very happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Talk about it next week. Tune in next week to the Choking Hazard podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good topic of conversation there.
Yeah.
Do we have any more?
Yeah, for sure.
I believe we have a couple of write-ins.
Yeah, we've got a couple of write-ins. I tried to persuade them to come on, but
I'm going to forbid it. I'm so close to just forbidding the write-ins.
We're going to say max like two in the future.
We only ever get two.
Max one.
Go on, whatever.
Give us the question. First question from Sibel Buena. This one's to Bruffy and Noss. What was the most stressful moment you ever had in MCEC?
Stressful moment in the MCEC?
I know mine. It was season 3, first race, Coquette Classic, battling with Vixstro at the very end for position. Trying so hard, and then I missed a mid-drive speed boost. And I lost.
Hold on, give me a second.
I took my headset off
out of frustration. Was the question just for Bruffy and Oss, and what was your most frustrating moment?
Yeah, the question is, why isn't it for RDT as well? RDT's been in the MCC since season 1.
Yeah, he's been in just as long as we have.
I wasn't counting him because he's on Xbox.
No!
I'm joking. RDT, what was your most stressful moment in MCC?
He doesn't fucking want to know. Why should I tell him anything?
Well, we want to know. Come on.
I want to know.
Well, mine was definitely first round of last year in Sports
Same
Classics.
Round Same round.
When I was in first place in the Coquette Classic, and I first quick second glanced over at Jerry, and I got beached on a rock, and then I came in second, I think, or third. Jerry. What's a Jerry?
Jerry. Mine was the first round of season 2, which is also ironically one of my best performances in the MCEC. Just the start of that was incredibly stressful, like lining up on the grid, because season 1 was kind of under the radar a little bit. It wasn't a big thing. Season 2 was where it kind of became something, and we had a lot of people watching on Twitch, and it was stressful lining up and just getting ready to start this crazy 1.5 hour endurance race. And hoping I would do good, and I ended up getting into first place by the first corner and going on to win. But the whole race was just very stressful because I was in that lead and I didn't want to ruin it. Yeah, just a very stressful round with it being so new.
Fair enough. Our next question was from Jaji. It's another, what real life car would you like to see in GTA? Except it's got a bit of a twist. It's what real life car would you like to see added to GTA that you think is forgotten about when people think of cars to add into GTA?
That's a question.
What?
So like everyone's going to say like, oh, I want a Dominator Classic, or oh, I want an F1 car, or oh, I want this, but we want some.
So an example that Judge put was he would like to see the Ford RS200 Evolution in the game.
I've got mine. Yeah.
It's a fucking Reliant Robin, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. It's the Ariel Atom.
I like it, actually, because I've never thought about it to put in GTA before, but now I've thought about it, it fits the answer. It fits the question perfectly. actually, well, yeah. It's the Mazda MX-5. And that would be my choice. Someone actually just put
Miata,
in the chat.
Miata for US audience.
Okay. Someone just put in the chat RX-7, which is a good one as well. But I feel like a lot of people would probably say that because of the Need for Speed movies the Fast and Furious movies, and you know that's probably a pretty common ask to have an RX-7 in. But yeah, MX-5, I would say. That would be
mine. Answer. Would be the Nautilus from A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Well,
I don't believe I've seen that.
It is the greatest movie that is on TV all the time.
I have no idea about that.
It's fantastic, and you all can shut up.
Okay, so a very, very interesting answer there. Honda S2000, yeah, that's another good one. Do we have have you guys got any answers for this yet?
Any what? Sorry, you cut out a little bit.
Do you guys have any answers for this yet? Noss and Jim?
How about an ice cream van?
The Mr. Hey,
kill some puppies.
The ice cream van.
Yeah, we could have the Mr. Whoopi back and make it on pace with the taco van, so you could have Mr. Whoopi taco van racing events.
Yeah, that would be good.
In fact, we need to get on that on our 5M server. I know Johnny's watching. Johnny, make Mr. Whoopi on pace with the taco van. Because we have it on our server, so we need to make that happen. As for my answer, I don't know. I actually know. I want like a modern Focus RS. That's what I would like.
Yeah.
Like you'd have I've already thought about the name. I've been trying to get our modeler to make it for the 5M server. It'd be the Vapid Blur, basically. Yeah. You have the Vapid Blur, which would be like the stock car that would be front wheel drive on compact pace. And then you'd have the Vapid Blur RS, which would be kind of mid-tier sports, all-wheel drive type deal. Okay. So that's probably what I would do. Or, I mean, just really any generation of Focus I'd be happy with, like the higher-end models.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
We've already got the Sadler A to the J, and that's an F-250, basically, so...
Since you're, maybe you can implement these into the 5M server...
We can find out
what the hell RDT's choice of car was.
Netrex posted it. You can see it.
It's fucking sick. Okay. And yeah, get the MX-5 in. Oh, yeah, look at that. Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
Interesting. I'll show it to the stream.
Yeah, please do. They need to see
it. That's an interesting vehicle.
Sports classics.
Sports classics, yeah. Good stuff. Alright, well, is that it for the questions? We got no more?
I got one question for a gentleman, seeing as he's here.
I asked him a question.
Okay.
Gentleman 13. Who is Hannes?
Hannes is a fictional character that we kind of made on the spot on one of our casts. He's got an Icelandic accent. I'm not going to do it again. But
I think you should give us a little impression of Hannes so that people can get a good flavor of, what Hannes is all about.
What it is you do over on your stream, I suppose. Give us
it's become kind of a dank meme, as people would say. But it just says, I'm playing Rocket League. He's like, oh boy, I'm about to hit the ball now. Oh wow, he did get the ball. He scored on me. I should start playing now. It's just at the top of my head, it's not good, but in the moment, people think it's hilarious, and I don't get it, but I'm doing it still. And
that sounds fun.
So it's you're just stereotypical Icelandic gamers, basically.
Pretty much just, if my mother was streaming, I think that would be just a female voice, What is this? Just, stress all the wrong letters and you got it.
Stress all the wrong letters. I like that.
All right.
Southern is leave out all the right letters. That's how Southern works.
And the northeast of England is cut off the ends of every single word. That's how it So how have you enjoyed your time on the podcast, gentlemen?
Of course, dude. I
let him
being
talk
here, man.
So as I talk over him. let him talk. He talked a lot, and goodbye, everyone.
We need to get Bo back on after we didn't let him talk for like.
Yeah, we kind of fucked him.
Good. Sure, it's been fun having you on. Thanks for joining in.
Awesome.
I mean, Twitch chat can find his details right now in the chat, but where can we find you for the people that are possibly watching this or listening to this?
It will be in the description of the YouTube video as well, of course.
Yeah, you can find me on my Twitch channel on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Mondays. Time zones. UTC, that's British.
Turn your notifications.
Time zones suck. I wish the Earth was flat. # make the Earth flat.
The Earth is flat. I thought...
Cool. pretty much it. And it's just absolutely phenomenal to get to be here. And I know that you guys are going to... Dude, it's not that cool. Really cool to be a guest at a podcast, you know? It happened once.
Well, I just hope that you can move on and be on better podcasts in the future.
Maybe. Yeah.
This is the beginner podcast.
We're rooting for you.
Where you start.
Yeah. Where's that positivity?
The training wheels. Podcast.
That's right there. I know you're going to go on to much better things than this. That's
why. This is barely a podcast, as Johnny says.
It's true.
But RDT, I seriously hope that you do that scenario thing again, that game, with the next guest.
Yeah, maybe that needs to be a weekly segment.
We'll just call it So There's This Kid.
So There's This Kid, yeah. Gets involved in all sorts of things every week. Yeah, all right, man. That'll be it for now. Do you want to say goodbye, guys? Thanks for watching, everyone.
Next week,
goodbye.
We got fucking A to the J.
Oh boy,
God.
Good job, sport.
He's free.
Yes, that's announcing our next week's guest, A to the J.
I'm just going to stay silent for the entire time. I think you guys can just take it without me.
Yeah, get your children.
The chat goes wild.
Prepare
the chat
yourself.
Goes wild.
And
for the 95% of people who don't know who he is, who are watching this on YouTube, you'll find out. You'll know by the end of next week. You will know. You'll know very much so.
# you will know.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you all
later.
Thanks
for having me. Bye.
Goodbye.